When you look at a map of the gerrymandered 13th Congressional District, at first glance, it may look impossible for a Democrat to win. There's a lot of Republican-leaning rural areas. President Trump won the sprawling district by more than 5 points in 2016. But because Democrats drew the map, they gave themselves a chance. Its corners stretch into urban areas, college campuses in Bloomington-Normal, Champaign-Urbana, Springfield, and Edwardsville. Those are pockets of Democratic voters. University of Illinois political scientist Kent Redfield says it's kind of a strange district.
So it's got a much more urban presence than other kind of central Illinois districts. It's got, you know, ISU and Illinois Wesleyan and UIUC and University of Illinois Springfield and University of Illinois Edwardsville. So, you know, there's an education community kind of component to it.
The goal was to create a district that was winnable for Democrats in certain years when they had the right candidate. So will that be the case in 2018? Five Democrats have already announced plans to run in the 13th district primary in March. There's David Gill, a doctor from Bloomington-Normal, who's run unsuccessfully for Congress previously. Eric Jones is a former Illinois Assistant Attorney General from Edwardsville. Ben Webb is a teacher at University High School in Normal. Jonathan Ebel is a religion professor at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. And Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan from Springfield is a former fundraiser for Senator Dick Durbin. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee and the National Republican Congressional Committee are both watching the race closely. If one of the Democrats emerges as a serious threat to Davis, both sides could invest a lot of money in the race. Rachel Irwin is a spokesperson for the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, or DCCC. She says they're looking at 80 districts nationwide as potential winners in 2018, including the 13th in Illinois. Democrats need 24 seats to retake the House majority in 2018.
You look at Congressman Rodney Davis, we see him as someone who is vulnerable. Given his record of voting against Illinois families, you know, especially his vote to take away health care, to impose an age tax on Illinois seniors, and to gut protections for people with pre-existing conditions. We know that health care is top of mind for so many voters, and we know that that will definitely have an impact when they go to vote in 2018.
Irwin is referring to Rodney Davis's support for Obamacare repeal and replace legislation in Congress. The Taylorville Republican says Obamacare is collapsing. The DCCC is already active in the 13th district, although don't expect them to get involved with Democratic candidates until much later, likely after the primary. The DCCC is already running Facebook ads, for example, telling voters about Davis's stance on Obamacare repeal and replace. Irwin says they'll let the individual candidate campaigns play out in the coming months.
Our primary focus this early in the cycle is ensuring that we are holding Republicans accountable for their votes in Washington. So we're really focused on whether it's through advertising or just talking to and educating voters in the district about the Republican agenda in Washington and how it impacts people in Illinois back home. You know, we want to let these campaigns play out. It's still very early, but we're really excited by the candidates who are stepping up to run here, who we think will definitely be a formidable challenge for Rodney Davis in 2018.
The National Republican Congressional Committee is also watching these five Democrats closely, though its investment in the race won't be decided until after the March primary. RNCC spokesperson Maddie Anderson says the Democratic Party is facing, quote, internal chaos nationally and even locally. That's playing out in the 13th District, too, with five Democrats but no clear frontrunner. State Representative Carol Ammons from Urbana flirted with a run but has since dropped out.
The Democratic primary is a prime example of that sort of chaos. You know, we have five-time loser David Gill, and then we have Dick Durbin insider Betsy Londrigan, who's been pictured with Elizabeth Warren and, you know, would probably be aligned with Nancy Pelosi. And then we have super far-left radical Eric Jones, who, to my knowledge, does not even live in the district. And this isn't even to mention the millions of dollars that Nancy Pelosi and the DCCC have spent in previous failed attempts to take the district from Rodney Davis, who is a common-sense Republican who represents his constituents very well.
Eric Jones, by the way, denies the allegation that he doesn't live in the district, and his address in Edwardsville confirms he's a resident. Whoever gets the Democratic nomination will face a seasoned fundraiser in Rodney Davis. He raised and spent between $1.3 and $3.4 million in each election since first winning in 2012. 70% of what he raised in 2016 came from other committees, like political action committees. His biggest PAC contributors included the John Deere PAC, the McDonald's PAC, the Caterpillar Employee PAC, the State Farm Federal PAC, and several others. Davis also raised more than $640,000 from individual contributors, including many within the district. It's too soon to say which of the five Democrats will have the most fundraising potential, or even if someone else might jump into the race. Londrigan from Springfield certainly has fundraising experience, but so does Gill, who gave Davis his biggest scare in 2012 when Davis won by just 1,000 votes. Here's Kent Redfield again from the University of Illinois.
In the right election with the right candidates, it's a competitive election. It's a competitive district. I think the initial election shows that.
But money isn't everything. In 2014, Davis faced a well-financed challenger in Ann Callis, a former judge from Southern Illinois. Federal election data shows that Callis raised and spent almost $2 million, but only mustered 41% of the vote. Compare that to 2016, when Davis faced Democrat Mark Wicklund, who didn't have the support of National Democrats. Wicklund raised and spent less than $50,000, a fraction of what Callis did, but basically won the same percentage of the vote, around 40%. Less money, same result. Wicklund says there's more to winning in the 13th than fundraising. It's about showing up to parades and other community events.
Face-to-face in the 13th district makes a huge difference, you know, because they get a feel for you. They get a feel for what type of person you are. And, you know, and that's why I did as good, you know, as Ann Callis on a heck of a lot leaner budget than she did.
Wicklund is a prime example of what happens when the DCCC does not see a viable candidate in the race. Wicklund, a former Macon County board member, says he found himself fighting not just against Davis, but against his own party.
If they hadn't fought against me and tied my hands up and finances and stuff like that and worked with me on the ground locally, we'd won that seat. And, you know, that's the pressure coming from them top tiers down to the lower county level stuff, like, you know, we're not backing him, you know, so you guys don't do nothing, you know. And so, and I've seen that. And, you know, it's being involved as long as I have on the local level and stuff like that. It's not always the amount of money you raise. It's the amount of boots you can put on the ground locally.
Wicklund's advice for the five Democrats in the race? Compete everywhere, including Christian County, where Davis is from. Wicklund says that work ethic may be what gets the attention of national Democrats who decide where to invest big money.
Yes, it's great to have the DCCC and all them behind you, but you get out there and you work hard and you win that election, you know, then they'll realize, oh, yeah, maybe he is something. Maybe he's got what it takes to do this job, and they'll start working with you in Washington or, you know, Springfield, Chicago, wherever you're running for. And, you know, and then they'll start to see, you know, what kind of person you are and what you stand for and that, and realize, you know, maybe this was the right candidate and we should have got behind him. It's just proving who you are to your voters makes the biggest difference.
David Gill is another candidate with a complicated history with National Democrats. Gill came within 1,000 votes of defeating Davis in 2012. That's one of five unsuccessful runs that Gill has made for the district or its predecessor, the less Democratic-friendly 15th.
For the most part, I have not been embraced by the DCCC. I had a run against them in the primary of 2012. Certainly, they never had any interest in the old hopeless races in which I was running, and I understand that. I have no problems with that. In 2012, I had to beat the DCCC in the primary. I got outspent 5-1 and beat their more moderate candidate, as it were. And it took them a long time then to be willing to engage with and support my campaign. You know, that was in March. It was probably until July or August that they came on board and got involved in the campaign. And this time, of course, they're not with me. I think they're actively working against me on behalf of one or two of the other candidates. And at the end of the day, that's fine, because part of my message is about needing to stand up against this corporate ownership of our politics and our government. And the DCCC takes all kinds of corporate money. You know, it's a message that I was putting forward before the primary of 2012, and I think that was part of their reluctance to get behind me. You know, when they take a lot of money from the insurance industry, they can't. It's very difficult for them to turn around and get behind this doctor who's been standing up for 25 years for a single-payer healthcare program here in America. And so, I get it. but it's a shame. I mean, it speaks to the schism within my party that we've seen, you know, that we saw laid wide open in the Hillary versus Bernie battle of 2016 and the battle over the DNC chairmanship a few months ago. And Illinois 13 is in a microcosm of that schism, I believe.
Gill's run against Davis in 2012 was one of the closest in the country that year.
I was able to raise about $1.3 million for that race, and I think it's important. I think that it did allow me to remain competitive, but I do think that there is a ceiling beyond which you don't add anything with respect to fundraising. And so we understand that if and when I get through this primary next March, that it'll take $1 million probably to be able to get my message out there sufficiently to voters. But there's certainly value in having run before. There's a lot of voters who recognize who I am and what I stand for.
There are also bigger national forces at work. It's unclear how voters will respond to the Trump administration, and midterms are notoriously bad for the party in power. President Obama's party took a beating in 2010 in the wake of the Obamacare vote. Republican Mitt Romney won the 13th district in 2012, but narrowly, with just 48.9% of the vote. Kent Redfield from the University of Illinois says it won't be easy for a Democrat to win, but it's not impossible.
This is not a suicide mission, taking one for the team, like it would be running as a Democrat against, you know, LaHood or Shimkus at this point. It's still not a... Davis doesn't have the kind of serious trouble that a candidate that's screwed up because they've lost touch with their district, or they've... the district has moved away from them. Downstate trends over the last three elections, downstate in general, is more Republican-friendly than three or four elections ago.
That's Kent Redfield from the University of Illinois. Before that, you heard from former 13th District candidate Mark Wicklund, Rachel Irwin from the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, and Maddie Anderson from the Republican National Congressional Committee. I'm Ryan Denham.